When do you want to start?
Yeah, you want to start, Bill?
Yeah, I'd like to start. Being a staunch defender of Alberto Gonzalez and President Bush, I would like to present the case for torture. Suppose that a terrorist, for example, has hidden an atomic bomb on Manhattan Island, which will detonate at noon on July 4th, unless, here follow the usual demands for money, release of his friends in jail. Suppose further he is caught at 10 a.m. on the fateful day, but preferring death to failure, won't disclose where the bomb is. What do we do? If the only way to save those lives is to subject the terrorist to the most excruciating pain, what grounds can there be for not doing so? This is from Michael Levine's A Case for Torture. One of his arguments, by the way, I'm doing this as a devil's advocate, not necessarily believing this, but I think we need to look at it. Unlike his victims, the person who is going to be tortured here, the terrorist, has volunteered for the risks of his deed. By threatening to kill for profit or idealism, he renounces civilized standards. And another one is the same thing. If somebody plants a bomb on a jumbo jet, he alone can disarm it. How do you tell 300 people who never asked to be put in danger, sorry, you'll have to die in agony. We couldn't bring ourselves to torture this terrorist here. So the argument is basically that these people are immoral and it's okay to torture them to save lives for the greater good, you know. Okay, so I'd like to come back in later on the other side of the argument, but I just thought I'd throw that out. And the way it is right now is it's all bets are off after 9/11, you know. All bets are off. This isn't a civilized war and we can't conduct it by respecting anybody's rights. And the torture is preferable to not getting any information from these people.
Still waiting for input.
One response to part of that, at least, is that as far as interrogation techniques go, a lot of people who are in the business think torture doesn't work, that you don't get reliable information out of torture. Another response is if you accuse somebody of being a terrorist, you haven't really proven that they're a terrorist, and so how do you know whether you're torturing somebody who's deserving of it, or by the sense that they might deserve it in this way, or somebody who is just an innocent bystander or happened to be in the right place at the wrong time.
Well, I don't know whether to follow up on that or whether to make a statement. I don't know what the format is exactly.
Yeah, make your statement.
Okay. An article in the New Yorker magazine coming out tomorrow, which will be February 14th, by Jane Mayer, titled Outsourcing Torture, talks about the Extraordinary Rendition Program, which is the process of snatching up people off the street by U.S. agents in this country and other countries, putting them on unmarked corporate jets, and then whisking them off to countries where they can be tortured outside the U.S. Jurisdiction, and they just basically make these people disappear. I'll just read the first paragraph of this article. On January 27th, President Bush, in an interview with The Times, assured the world that torture is never acceptable, nor do we hand over people to countries that do torture. Mar Arar, a Canadian engineer who was born in Syria, was surprised to learn of Bush's statement. 2.5 years ago, American officials, suspecting Arar of being a terrorist, apprehended him in New York and sent him back to Syria, where he endured months of brutal interrogation, including torture. When Arar described his experience in a phone interview recently, he invoked an Arabic expression. "The pain was so unbearable," he said, "that you forget the milk that you have been fed from the breast of your mother."
Does anybody else have a statement?
Well, on that, the biggest opponents of that rendition program have been people that have been involved in it. You know, CIA agents and this, that, and the other. It just doesn't work. And Senator Taft had some interesting things to say on it. He warned that if the United States took the war on terrorism outside the Geneva Conventions, which is Gonzales and Bush's stance, not only could U.S. soldiers be denied the protections of the conventions and therefore be prosecuted for crimes, including murder, but President Bush could be accused of a grave breach by other countries and be prosecuted for war crimes. So, in other words, if you open up the door, it's okay for us to do these extra-legal international, what would you call them, abominations, then obviously it may come home to roost.
I want to comment on one little thing that keeps popping back up ever since 9/11 is that the world has changed since 9/11. I mean, on the whole grand scale of things, yes, 9/11 was an atrocity. It was something that definitely woke everyone up. But it is not the most disastrous thing that's ever happened. It's not the most disastrous thing that's ever happened to the United States. And to say that this little incident, it's not little, but I mean this individual incident is sufficient grounds to jettison everything we stand for seems to indicate we have a pretty flimsy concept of what American values are all about. I think that American values should be something that's going to carry us through the worst of times, and a lot worse times than that. I mean, that's something that's sort of a little side comment on this discussion.
I tend to see this as a moral absolute. Either torture is wrong or it's not wrong. If we stoop to the level of those people that we are saying are terrorists, then we're no better than the terrorists. If we allow our soldiers to do things that we know are criminal acts, then we're criminals. There's no way to equivocate it and say, well, it's not convenient to be moral at this time. We have to be immoral because we're up against an immoral enemy. That doesn't fly. It doesn't make any sense at all. If we, as a so-called Christian nation, hold ourselves up to be an example to the world, then we have to be that example to the world of the way we want to be treated. And if we torture our prisoners, that we're opening the door to them torturing us, we're setting the precedent.
Yeah, one interesting sidelight on this, I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Libby who ran a terrorist training camp in Afghanistan, and they got a hold of him and started torturing him. And he came up with a phony confession that was the basis of Colin Powell's momentous address to justify preemptive war to the United Nations. And they found out that this was all a lie. And the reason they got the bad information is because they beat it out of him. So here, the information gained by torture was partially responsible for that preemptive war, you know. It's, I think it shows how much good torture gets you. But as an instrument of fear, it's great. Put fear into people, and that's I think, a lot of it to intimidate your political opponents and labor leaders and people that might want to organize peasant revolts and stuff. It's not just for information. It's sometimes for other purposes.
Can anybody put it in a larger context? Torture just seems to be one element that's objectionable that's being carried out the last few years.
One of the things that I'm aware of when I hear all this discussion is that the whole idea of the war on terror, you know, that's a framing of the issues that is not necessarily, you know, doesn't really match reality. I mean, look at terror, you know. I mean, call it violence. You know, the larger issue is violence. Terror is just a particularly emotionally loaded word to describe one kind of violence. We are implicated in much, much graver violence than people that we label as terrorists. I mean, you know, terrorists maybe kill dozens, hundreds, in some cases thousands of people, but when countries engage in violence, when we've engaged in violence, millions of people have been killed. And during the Cold War, there were millions of people that were killed on our watch by people that we propped up, dictators that we put in power. And the way it's destroyed economies, we killed more people during the sanctions in Iraq. In other words, we caused the deaths of more people during the sanctions time, which was not even like bombs flying. It was depriving Iraq of essentials for life. The numbers I've heard anywhere from 500,000 to 1.5 million that were killed during, that were died during the sanctions as a result of the sanctions. But somehow that doesn't take the same label as something like terror. So to focus on terror is, I think, a distortion of where the real issue is.
Yeah, I think that the term terrorist just means the person is on the other side. I can remember when the Israelis were the terrorists acting against the Palestinians when they were trying to get the state of Israel to be recognized. They did the same bombings and what we call terrorist activities. Terrorists are, as far as I can see, freedom fighters for the other side. And I think that you have to recognize that when you have nations that are very poor fighting for their survival, they don't have the billions and billions that we have to provide battleships and tanks and armor. So they, in waging their war, they find the weapons that are accessible to them. But the acts, are acts in most cases of freedom fighters fighting for their land. We may not agree with them. They may have authoritarian views of how their country should be run, but the term terrorist is meaningless in terms of really coming to understand the problems. The idea of torture, the idea that Americans hold this value that is wrong to torture, but if you're not an American, if you're declared an enemy, you don't have those human rights, is very abhorrent to me. I feel that if our ideals are meaningless, if we don't view all humans as deserving of the respect of due process and having a chance to have a fair hearing. I find that our country, through what was known as the School of the Americas, trained people who went back to their own countries and acted as terrorists. And we succeeded in overthrowing an elected government of Chile with Allende, and we put in a dictator by the name of Pinochet. Now, 20 years later, everybody's regretting that he was a horrible dictator, but we were the ones who made that happen, our country was. So this double standards of what is deserving, that we only feel responsible to act in decent, lawful ways with our friends and not with our enemies is very abhorrent and repugnant as an American, and that they should be acting in our behalf in that way is a betrayal of American ideals as we have known them.
Good conclusion.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, we didn't really mention the different kinds of torture. They're all different kinds. The idea of these women interrogators on Guantanamo, you know, stripping down to their undies and rubbing up against the prisoners, the Muslims supposed to be, against this kind of thing, and smearing red dye over their face and tell them it's menstrual blood. I mean, all that's going to do is piss them off. You know, that's going to make these people, if they weren't terrorists to start with, they're very likely to, once the word gets around, wind up creating a number of terrorists from that.
Yeah.
I was interested in doing some research on this, finding out that torture in the medieval Inquisition, which you all know about, I'm sure, the inquisitors were only allowed to use methods that didn't result in bloodshed, mutilation, or death. So what they used to do is turn over prisoners that, you know, wouldn't come around to the secular government torturers who used much more forceful means. It's sort of the same thing we're doing now, outsourcing to Egypt and Syria and Jordan, places like that.
Another incident comes to mind, which is supposedly, according to the New Testament accounts, like the Sanhedrin turning over Jesus to the Romans. Isn't that similar? Is that a rendition?
The one point I wanted to make also was, Bill touched on it, and follow up what the other Bill was saying, is that in the long run, these things always come back to bite us. Now, the technical effectiveness of torture is up for debate. The CIA agents and the FBI agents say it's not useful. But in the strategic or long-run sense, it's always a failure. Pinochet, the El Salvador, Saddam Hussein, we supported. All these supporting dictators who implement torture, or whether we do it ourselves, in the long run, it's never benefits American policy, let alone the fact that it's immoral and wrong.
Hey, that should wrap it up.